an electric LSA takes flight. The Wright brothers, first in flight or not. And Delta Connection flight attendants reach a tentative first contract agreement. This is Aero News for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Evector's electric-powered LSA Sportstar EPOS made its first flight from the Kunovice Airport in Czech Republic on March the 28th. The aircraft was piloted by Evector's factory pilot, Radek Suri. After taxi test, the aircraft took off for a short, approximately 10-minute long flight. It landed successfully, and a second flight followed immediately afterwards. The total time that the aircraft flew, powered by an electric motor, reached about 30 minutes. The Sportstar EPOS, which stands for Electric-Powered Small Aircraft, is a derivative of the Sportstar RTC and represents the concept of two-seater sport aircraft of the near future. The experimental operation of the Sportstar EPOS was made possible due to close cooperation between Evector and the Czech Light Aircraft Association. The first Sportstar EPOS presentation to the public will take place at Europe's largest aviation exhibition, Aero Friedrichshafen in Germany, which will be held April 24th through the 27th. Amidst the long simmering controversy about whether the Wright brothers were actually the first to fly a heavier-than-air-powered airplane, the Smithsonian Institution has, for the first time, publicly released the contract it signed in 1948 that states, quote, "Neither the Smithsonian Institution or its successors, nor any museum or other agency, bureau, or facilities administered for the United States of America by the Smithsonian Institution or its successors, shall publish or permit to be displayed a statement or label in connection with or in respect of any aircraft model or design of earlier date than the Wright Aeroplane of 1903, claiming in effect that such aircraft was capable of carrying a man under its own power in controlled flight," end quote. At issue is a claim by Australian aviator historian John Brown, who says that Gustav Whitehead, a German immigrant, flew a powered airplane over Connecticut in the early morning hours of August the 14th, 1901, 2 years before the Wrights made their famous flight at Kitty Hawk. Brown says some recently discovered photographs prove Whitehead was first. Fox News reports that the contract between the museum and Orville Wright was signed in 1948. The document allowed the transfer of the original Wright flyer from the London Science Museum to the Smithsonian, with the caveat that no other airplane ever be designated as having flown before the Wright flyer. That contract is still in force. To wit, Brown has charged the Smithsonian is being forced to say the Wrights were first. In an open letter response to Brown's public charge, the museum's senior curator of aeronautics, Tom Crouch, said, quote, "If substantial evidence of a pre-Wright flight claim were to be produced, I hope I would have the courage to admit it," end quote. Compass Airlines flight attendants, represented by the Association of Flight Attendants CWA, AFL-CIO, have reached a tentative agreement for a first contract with the assistance of the National Mediation Board. The agreement would provide double-digit pay increases on date of ratification, along with an increased 401k match, schedule flexibility, and a grievance procedure, among other improvements. The AFA negotiating committee and elected leaders are sending the agreement out for ratification with a unanimous endorsement. Voting on the agreement will begin April 10th and conclude May 1st. If ratified, the agreement would become effective on the date of the vote count, May the 1st. Compass Airlines operates as Delta Connection. The second in a series of apps from ASA is the new Instrument Pilot Check Ride app, based on the popular Instrument Oral Exam Guidebook by Michael Hayes. Designed for pilots training for the Instrument Rating or the Instrument Flight Instructor CFII certificate, this app lists the questions most likely to be asked by examiners during the last step in the pilot certification process, the practical exam, and it provides succinct, ready responses. More than 450 questions and responses ensure all the subjects an instrument rating candidate would be tested on during check rides and instrument proficiency checks are covered. Compatible with iPad, iPad Mini, iPhone, and iPod Touch, this app teaches applicants not only what to expect, but also how to exhibit subject mastery and confidence when under the examiner's scrutiny. It identifies candidates' strengths, weaknesses, and gaps in their aeronautical knowledge, which increases study efficiency. Once the app is installed onto your device, no internet connection is necessary for study. when Aero News continues. The FAA says no to compassion flights with donated aircraft. A skydiving instructor dies a hero, and fat guys need not apply.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, April 3rd. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA has rejected a request by Patient Airlift Services, PALS, a nonprofit volunteer pilot organization, to use a donated aircraft to provide free air transportation for patients requiring medical care or other humanitarian purposes. PALS had asked the FAA for a rules exemption that would have allowed it to use a Beach Bonanza aircraft, which had been donated to PALS, for humanitarian flights it arranges at no cost to patients requiring medical care or other humanitarian purposes. Patient Airlift Services asked that it be exempt from Parts 119 and 135 of the FARs. Since these regulations pertain mostly to air carriers, charter services, and commercial operators, PALS provides its own service at no cost to the patient by volunteer pilots who are not paid for their service. So PALS thought it had a valid and compelling reason for an exemption. Joe Howley, PALS president, said that while they were disappointed, they understood the FAA's ruling, saying, quote, "We understand the FAA's concern that in allowing PALS to operate its own aircraft, it would significantly alter our role of coordinating patients' travel needs with volunteer pilots to one in which it becomes an aircraft operator. It brings into question who will be ultimately responsible for the aircraft's operation, its compliance with maintenance regulations, insurance, and guarantee of safety to the flying public." End quote. A skydiving instructor is being called a hero for his attempts to help another jumper get his chute open during a jump a week ago Saturday in the Zephyr Hills area near Tampa, Florida. Unfortunately, both jumpers were fatally injured when they impacted the ground. Both jumpers were from Iceland and had jumped separately. They had completed two previous jumps that day with 20 other people. When they did not return from the third jump, a massive search was launched and the bodies were found about 3 hours later. Video retrieved from a camera on Orvor Anderson's helmet showed him attempting to assist Admiral Pedersen pull the cord on his main parachute. Pasco County Detective William Lindsay said it was not clear why Pedersen did not pull the cord himself. Skydive City owner T.K. Hayes told the Associated Press that it could be that the men lost altitude awareness as they worked to deploy Pedersen's chute. He said that both had backup systems designed to automatically deploy, but that they did not have time to completely inflate before the pair hit the ground. Anderson and Pedersen were part of a group from Iceland that travels to Florida each spring to go skydiving. The Pasco County Sheriff's Office said Florida state law prevents the video from being released. Well, citing higher fuel and other operating costs, the U.S. Army recently put a policy in place that civilian instructor pilots at its Fort Rucker helicopter training facility in southeast Alabama could weigh no more than 250 pounds, and some of the inspectors cried foul. However, a federal judge threw out a lawsuit filed by Professional Helicopter Pilots Association, Local 102, and six Fort Rucker instructors, and the rule went into effect on Monday. The instructors are all employed by URS Federal Support Services, which was not named in the lawsuit. The weight limit includes the pilot's weight plus flight suit and boots, and is in place for certain types of aircraft and simulators. The website, AL.com, relays a story from the Washington Post, which indicates that pilots who tip the scales at over 250 pounds when fully kitted out will be placed on paid leave. Those who do not have any leave accrued will be placed on unpaid leave and keep their seniority for 2 years, but they will not fly for the Army until they are under the weight limit. In truth, the weight limit was included in a contract between the Army and URS that became effective on the 1st of October last year, but the company's pilots were given 6 months to reach compliance with the weight limit. Well, when they did not, the deadline was April 1st, and no, this was not an April Fool's joke, as they found out. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.